Hi, I'm Mike Nagrant, and you're listening to Hungry Magazine from Chicago, Illinois.
4, 3, 2.
One more time.
Welcome back for another edition of Hungry Magazine Interviews. This week I sit down with Mindy Friedler and Mark Byers, the husband and wife team behind Jerry's Sandwiches. Although they rarely refer to their West Loop spot as the Super Subway, Jerry's has become an iconic place to grab some of the best handcrafted lunch sandwiches around. On Monday, July 9th, they'll open their second Jerry's at 1938 West Division Street in Wicker Park. The new Jerry's is a lot bigger and will feature a ton of American craft brewed beer. There's also a lot more cushy seating and a real elegant design vibe. We've got a photo slideshow over at www.hungrymag.com if you want to see what it looks like. Enjoy the interview.
Mark, you went to Penn, GSB, and law school. So I was trying to decide, does that make you either the most educated chef in town or is it the most indebted chef in town?
One of them. I think there's a lot of highly degreed people in the restaurant business, right? A lot of ex-lawyers. It wasn't like the Fox Nobel, the original Fox Nobel people, a couple of lawyers.
Yeah, I bet they were. And of course, Mindy, you're a lawyer.
Right,
you were a former lawyer.
Yes. My parents are very proud.
Well, so I ask about that. I'm curious about the segue into cooking for you. You know, how you went through all the school and then you're cooking now.
I got involved in, I went to grad school at the U of C, University of Chicago, and I got involved with, at that time, the business school had as like a capitalism project, a coffee shop. And I got involved with them. I actually took a job just slicing corned beef just to make some money. And we ended up running a bunch of food services at the U of C. And we were making, you know, like as students in the early 70s, we were making like $40,000 a year, and we just never stopped. And, you know, I broke away from them because, curiously enough, I had more of an interest in finer food. Mm-hmm. But these guys went on. It's Rich Mott and them. They now run North Pond.
Oh, yeah.
They took a crack at Le Francais.
Yeah.
But,
so they seem to be interested in finer food as
well. Yeah. You know, he went more than like corned beef route, but they did so well, they eventually opened something down south, but then they opened North Pond. But, you know, I got involved in catering, and I've done different things, gourmet food shops, and, you know, some were more successful than others.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and maybe it was tongue-in-cheek, but I think that it was that you were, maybe you were a lawyer, and you got offered a free lunch, and then the rest was history.
Well, you know, I had done, maybe before law school and after law school, I had done a lot of restaurant and work and a little bit of catering, and then when Mark was opening the sandwich shop, so was that 5 years ago, I had been doing legal headhunting, which just was not for me. Like, we can just leave it there. So I was kind of figuring out what to do next, and Mark said, well, just come in and help us a little bit. Just come spend a day or two. And 5 years later, Mark had been doing kind of what I'm doing, the front of the house on catering, and he was ready to move into the kitchen. So I kind of took over what he'd been doing. And Uriah's been with us pretty much from the start, and as cooking and managing and
what's your
all
background?
That stuff.
What's my background?
How'd you get into this whole?
Actually, I know. I think I've been working with Mark for a long time.
So you're like 17 or something, right?
Close
since you were a kid.
It. Yeah, and
he rescued you when you were a street urchin.
Exactly. I think one of his very, very first projects.
Yeah. But Uriah worked with our, what you might say, our mentor, which was Craig Halper, that was one of the old Jimmy's Place chefs. Mm. He's quite an accomplished cook. He's now a teacher. So Uriah's a cook, and I'm a self-taught cook. And Mindy's our bakery consultant. So,
how many sandwiches do you guys have now? Is it over 100?
We have 100 of our set sandwiches,
yeah,
which is pretty much where we're going to stop. When people come in and say, how do I get a sandwich named after me? I'm like, well, you got to kill somebody who's already on there because we're done. And so there's those 100. And then there's the endless possibilities of making your own.
Are there some people who are near death where you can just get out?
We do have a few, yeah. Or you can pay me a substantial fee and I will just pretend they've died.
Naming rights.
It's an honorary
right,
or
exactly,
something like that.
The funny thing,
I never did like that person.
A sandwich named after them. They never order the sandwich again.
No.
Or they probably stop coming in.
They stop coming out together. Yeah, we have a few of those. I'm like, why don't you bend me?
Or they come in with a big group of people, and they're like, that's me.
But probably two-thirds of the names are like inside or not so inside jokes. Uh-huh. They're real people.
Yeah, I wondered about that, if there were some really good stories, because obviously some of them are fictional characters like Rocky Balboa or Foghorn Leghorn. Uh-huh. And I wondered if there was one that was kind of like, we wouldn't know, but there's probably a really good story behind the sandwich or who it's named after.
Wow.
There's probably 10 of them.
Well, one of the ones that always makes me laugh is the Uriah H., which is actually named after Uriah Hose, but everybody always thinks it's Uriah Heep from Dickens. And I'm always like, why would anybody name a sandwich after, like, the most sniveling character in all of literature?
This is true.
So that's one that always kind of makes me laugh.
Which is funny, because I thought that, too.
Yes, everybody's.
And now that you pointed out, it's like, well, I'm
right.
The McGanahan is.
Yeah, what is that? I don't even know what
that was.
Which one is this?
The McGanahan S,
which is short for McGanahan Scagelli Fetti, which is Jerry Garcia's moniker on, I think, the first album. Yeah. I think it says Guitars by McGanahan or something like
that. That's true, yeah.
So there's some, they're mostly loopy. They're not the most well thought through.
Have all the sandwiches been made? Or is there a sandwich that's on the list, but it's really never been made, or it's never
there been made? There was one, but we took it off, right?
I forget what it was.
It was the Jerry, Jerry G, which was magic mushrooms, Haagen-Dazs, and it said subject to availability. Finally, we took it. It got bunked by a real sandwich.
There are some that are kind of duds, but we leave them around for a while, and then if nobody ever orders them, we do kind of take them off. But yeah, you know, there's some on there that I'm shocked that people ever order, but they do, you know. Mm-hmm. Every sandwich has its day.
You guys used to have the blackboards on the wall, and then you guys took those down. I wondered what that was about. Was that you didn't have enough blackboard to...
Well, yeah, I mean, we kept expanding. So we had, like, the original 20 up there, but then we got so many more, and we didn't really have room for the blackboards. And plus, everybody was always, like, erasing them. And then we had plans to make big boards, and I don't know what became of that. I think we just moved to a printed menu.
Yeah, because we can change it instantly. Mm-hmm. To change a printed board is like a 6-month project.
Right.
So if we just want to drop a sauce, or if we wanted to raise prices, or anything,
you can see like little yellow stickers over the yellow board. And
and you can see where we are gravitating to here, which is handheld menus.
Yeah.
Because we can print new ones, in 5 minutes.
That's what inkjets are for, right?
Yeah.
I was at, there's a place like on the south side near the airport called Mr. Shrimp. I don't know, it's literally like a shack. And their logo is actually, they stole the Planters logo, but it's a shrimp with a monocle and top hat. But they've been around since like the 50s. And the guy who works behind the counter is in his late 70s. And he opened the place after he got out of the Marines, and he's still there. And he will die at the deep fryer. Like somebody will walk in one day and they'll be like, hey.
His head will be.
But, I mean, it was funny because their stuff is all on poster board. And I always thought it was funny because the poster board, they didn't go out and buy a new poster board. They just painted white over it and then rewrote over it. Like, you can see, I thought it was the funniest thing. It's
it's not real flexible as a medium.
Frugality, small business is tough.
You know, it's a great question, Michael, for Mindy, is sandwiches...
No,
atrocious sandwiches that have been ordered.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Like, I wonder if you guys must get weird requests because...
This, and I'm sorry if whoever this is listening, I didn't mean to make, but this, I believe. Now, Uriah took the order because sometimes when people make orders that seem to me really off, I sometimes say, like, are you sure? I'm not sure about that, but he's much nicer than I am. I believe this was it. Turkey, portobello mushroom... I think there was something else, some kind of cheese. So far, not so bad.
Not so bad.
Peanut butter, ketchup, and cranberry sauce. But then to top it all off, he put it on focaccia.
Oh.
I was like, are we really going to eat that?
And he just watched him, right? Like he was in the store.
there's two kinds of bad sandwich making. There's the kind who think, well, I like all these things, so I'll just put them all in the sandwich with no thought as to whether they might taste good together. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones who figure, I'm getting my money's worth out of this experience, so I'm just going to keep putting things on, again, whether they taste good or not.
Mm-hmm. I wondered about, sometimes you ask about, like, if you're, like, with a winemaker, early winemaker memories, or, so, of course, early sandwich memories, but then, and you can talk about that if it's really something you want to talk about, but, you know, you think, well, obviously, it's probably, like, grilled cheese or something. I wondered, maybe even more specifically, like, when you guys recognized that a sandwich could be more than a sandwich, you know, what that first experience was like.
Well, I think that's probably... Oh, you mean like from my childhood?
Yeah, even. Or, you know, you're like, wait, oh, it's not just... I mean, not that peanut butter and jelly is bad. It's great.
It's the hot dog and cream cheese thing.
Yeah, the Lincoln Log. Do you watch The Sopranos?
I don't, oh, actually.
Although my parents will tell you their favorite sandwich memory of me as a child is I'd always go out and I'd order a ham and cheese, hold the cheese. And I'd say, why don't you just order a ham sandwich? I don't know. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of an early sandwich... You're more pie.
Well, I feel like the genesis of Jerry's was, again, working with Craig, who long ago was our chef in a different incarnation. And Craig would bring things in like monkfish with tomato saffron sauce on toasted bread. It would be, you know, that's when I really, wow. You know, I think that's always had an impact on me that we could... You know, we could just make anything we want and probably make a sandwich out of it. And I would say, I still believe that. It's still true. I mean, not literally anything, but most anything you'd go into the restaurant and get as an entree, a hunk of meat, a seared piece of fish, in some fashion or another, will make a terrific sandwich if you just think it through.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I'm always struck by is it's kind of like, well... There's just this great cut of meat that you guys had left over or you made for that day that becomes a sandwich, you know? And it's like, I mean, I guess it's almost, it's in that New Orleans po' boy tradition, which is to say, you know, you took old roast beef cuttings or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nowadays it would be pre-processed or whatever if you're at McDonald's. But back then, that's what it was. It was real food. It was the good stuff that was left over or whatever. So.
Yeah, and the only difference is with this is it's not leftover. We're just literally making it. But we can make a... You know, we can roast off like 4 pork loins at once and go through them in the course of a day. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think for everybody that like day after Thanksgiving, where you get like the turkey,
yeah,
you get to make a sandwich out of it, and maybe you'll put the extra cranberry sauce. I mean, I think that's kind of
stuffing on it,
yeah,
or gravy, and
which you know we
sandwich,
do, but
that is,
yeah. You know how I always like that day after Thanksgiving better than the meal. So,
yeah, no,
I was just thinking of my. If sandwich places can have sous chefs, my sous chef Sam yesterday or recent times said she came from Vermilion, so she has like this Indian, she's not Indian, but she has this background.
Indian Latin fusion, nonetheless.
She said, you know, we made this great tandoori yogurt steak. She said, I bet that would be really good. So that was our special today.
Nice.
I said, do it. That sounds fantastic.
Well, you know what I do is like I know you guys live in Oak Park. I eat at the Indian restaurant Khyber Pass.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live there.
That's
actually
a good place.
I lived there for like 2 years, and they always have
in the Khyber Pass.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
It was great, man. Yeah. It was. I mean, there wasn't a lot. There was a lot of vegetables eating at that time, not a lot of meat. But they bring out the tandoori, you know, the sizzling tandoori,
uh-huh.
And they have the naan. I always make like what I call like my Indian fajita sandwich. Like I pull off the tandoori meat,
yeah,
the grilled onion, and a little bit of the mint yogurt sauce. And,
that is great bread.
It is good bread.
That would be cool to carry. I think it's impractical. But
yeah, well, they might be able to.
They could deliver to us fresh and warm.
Right.
Every
I like
day
the onion one. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I think their food is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like. I drive there because it's actually closer than Devon. I think you know.
Yeah, probably is, and you can park.
The two sandwiches, obviously, the Marky B and the Mindy F. I wonder, are those like favorite? Is that what your favorite combination is, or did you just?
I don't think I've had one of those in for like.
You know what? I
four
think
years.
I think I made it one day in the first year, and I thought this is pretty good. And honestly, I don't think I've ever eaten it since then. But you know what? It's like a good Jerry starter sandwich when people can't decide what to get. I often recommend that because it's got the chipotle chutney and the blackened chicken, but it's not like too crazy. So. I always think of that as like the starter sandwich. Yeah.
Are they still popular? They still sell.
The Mindy
right?
F, yeah, and the Marky B.
Marky B is actually my favorite sandwich.
Oh, is it really?
That's what I always get. I mean,
I need to talk to someone as a Green Jay.
Is it really?
I always get the Marky B, or I get whatever the special is, because you can't go wrong with those usually. So
I have a, I
Oh, you must not have been there on Sardine Day.
So they went wrong.
Some steps have done better than others.
One order. That was a loser. I think Smelt Day we sold maybe three.
Well, Ryan and I both like the notion of just like going through the seafood, going with our seafood vendor, like what do they have fresh, and we have to find things that are affordable to turn it into. We don't want to do $14 sandwiches. So it's always like fresh smelts, and like we'll do them. You know, it's like let's fry up smelts and do fresh smelt sandwiches. And they're an acquired. The people that like them really like them, but they're not a big seller. But that doesn't. But one day we did do the fried sardines.
I feel like part of it's the name too. I mean, if you called it like, you know, whitefish or something, right. You'd be like, oh, that sounds good.
Surprisingly, enough, two of our biggest bestsellers ever are deep fried turkey and the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, the Philly cheesesteak. Yeah.
Things that you would think are.
We just added the Philly cheesesteak. You think we would have thought of that years ago, especially since I lived there.
That brings up that idea of like regionality outside of the region. I mean, you guys do a lot of New Orleans type stuff. I know that when I come back from New Orleans, if I want a fix for, you know, like a muffaletta, this is where I go to you guys. Because you guys make a good olive relish and, you know.
Yeah, we started with some, I don't know where we got the original recipe, but it's definitely someplace in New Orleans. And then.
But it just reminded me when Mark said salmon, we ran as a special last Friday that Copper River salmon because it was in our basic sandwich, $7.50. Mark and I went out to dinner Saturday night at a restaurant I will not name. Very expensive. I ordered the Copper River salmon because I thought it was really good. $34, a smaller portion that goes in our sandwich. And let me tell you, not all that interesting. So we were just laughing. We're like, how come we can make this sandwich for $7.50?
Well, I don't know. We made a killing on it, but sometimes it's
some people take advantage of whatever the perceptions are.
Right.
We're going to, we're going to have a fish of the day and get back to going through the, you know, just ripping, like, Uriah is the source of us having done not monkfish. What's the skate wings, right? Skate wing sandwiches. Yeah. They're really good, right?
They are. They're good. It's a great fish.
Yeah, you know, we do soft shell crabs when they're in season. We did those. And
what about you guys talked at one point? I remember there used to be a quote about how you guys have eaten sandwiches everywhere. I wondered about some of those trips. Like, are there some great sandwich moments, sandwich vacations?
New Orleans is probably our major sandwich spot.
Yeah, New Orleans is just our.
Where did we go last time we were there? It was really good. That one where we saw Drew and Susan from Westtown Tavern. We ran into them at this
Liuza.
Liuza.
By the tracks. That one? There's like two Liuzas. You would think that'd be odd with that name.
And they had like
L-I-U-Z-Z-A.
Like a barbecue, New Orleans version of barbecue shrimp poor boy instead of the fried one. That was a really great. You know, the great thing about the New Orleans ones is they're so simple.
I mean, if you go to New Orleans and you think when you go to the places they say are five star, it's like, well, from Chicago, I don't think these would be five star, but if you go to the New Orleans places, the three star, the two star, the one star, if they give out stars in New Orleans.
That's the thing I think about New Orleans is you go anywhere, like a hole in the wall, and you spend $5, you're getting a great meal.
Yeah.
Like, they still cook with, you know, natural food and, like, you know, stuff from the Gulf if they can get it, although, you know, some of the people have gone to the big conglomerates, but I mean, that was the thing I was struck by, is how much good food and relatively affordable. Though certainly not healthy for you.
No, it's probably the place you go when you're trying to watch your calories.
But, I mean, they deep fry everything, right? So.
You know, the sandwiches I experienced, I mean, I think my great inspiration for sandwiches was Craig, but.
Well, Zingerman's.
Zingerman's in Ann Arbor. That, you know what, that's funny. Yeah, it's funny I should forget that. But Zingerman's the one I walked into and thought, whoa, you know, you can really. And when we opened Jerry's, I think we thought we were going to somewhat copy them. And obviously we didn't. I think they're much more of a Jewish deli background.
Yeah.
We went a whole different direction. And opted not to make the sandwiches quite that big. Zingerman's.
Yeah, we have a little different style, I think. A little more balanced. But I'll tell you another sandwich. Growing up, I'd go with my mom down to Marshall Field's on State Street to the Walnut Room, and they had that open face, like turkey, bacon, Russian dressing, which now I hope they don't sue us, is now the Marshall F on our menu. It's a little homage to Marshall Field's. That was always one of my favorites. It was like a perfect...
Well, you guys should rename it the Macy's.
I never forget it. Never.
Ode to the Walnut Room.
Right.
Yeah, I wondered about this. I mean, this is looking at this room, and we'll see pictures on the website, but... I mean, this is a big step up from Jerry's. This is a whole nother kit and caboodle for you guys.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's just been so organic, Mike. We just started out looking for a second location to do something, more space, and we knew we wanted to do beer and wine. And it evolved into this, which is, you know, so elegant that we're going to have to, I don't know, we're going to have to wear jeans with holes in them or something.
But then once people see the menu, and once, you know, we had staff in here, it won't seem. But, you know, our struggle was at first we were going to have it be like takeout during the day and then like wait service at night. And we realized we couldn't really design a place for both. That you just, and that we needed to design it for dinner, for sit down, and lunch would follow. That you just couldn't do both. And I mean, I always say kidding around, I mean, I love Jerry's, but I'm not sure if I didn't own it that I'd ever go there. It's like sort of crazy sometimes, and there's lines, and people love it, and it's great, and we're organized now, and people get through. But I think, you know, if you want to be a little more relaxed, and especially at night, I mean, I think people want to be waited on. They want to have a beer. They want to have a glass of wine.
So this will be more formal at night, then? It'll be to match the space, then? Is that...
Well, the menu's staying the same.
That is the same.
Yeah. No.
Because I don't think you need to.
No.
I think what you
No, we're just sticking. You know, we had toyed with that. Like, are we going to do entrees? Well, we could take our fried chicken special and we could turn it into a entree. And then we're like, you know, we're sandwiches. That's what we're doing. I think lots of people want to eat sandwiches at night.
No, we don't intend
to
be formal. No. Yeah. People can come in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we hired a good designer that we had a family connection to her, and
you hired a great designer.
We just sort of, we just sort of let her be, and she did this. So it's sort of like, I don't know, it's, you know, if you hire Frank Lloyd Wright, you let him build what he wants to build, and this is what she did, and we'll adapt to it. It's, you know, we're going to, you know, you can see the speakers everywhere. We're going to be playing blues and rock and everything here, so... Well, I think I'm confident we can bring this right down.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, we're also hoping, like, we can really, that it'll be a comfortable place for families. You know, like, the current Jerry's in the system, it's hard if you've got strollers and kids hanging on you. But, you know, here you bring your stroller up, we'll have a really nice big outside. And I think once people, like, see the menu, it'll all kind of make sense.
Mm-hmm. So what's gonna be the campus this year? I mean, you got 100 sandwiches, you got new stuff.
I would say the beers.
The beers.
Come for the beer, stay for the sandwiches.
Any particular beer that you would like to chow down on?
I don't think we'll open with it. We're going to shoot for like 100 American craft beers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of which, unless you're a beer drinker, you'll have never heard of. So. It's just remarkable. I when we set out to do a beer list, we were just like, okay, well, we're going to do really interesting beers. And I started domestically and just never left.
I
mean, you can duplicate 90-95% of what's available worldwide and duplicate them well. Like the, you know, there's great American Belgian beer brewers. And it's why don't we just stop? We'll just do domestic.
Greg Haw from Goose Island told me a story about how I think Michael Jackson, the big beer writer in England, he had their new Père Jacques when it first came out from Goose Island, which was modeled on a Belgian, you know, and he had the equivalent Belgian, I forget what it was, it wasn't Duval, I forget what it was, but he had them side by side, blind taste test, didn't know, and he preferred the Goose and thought the Goose was a better quality at this point. I mean, obviously, millions of years of the Trappist, you know, they've done some good brews, and I'm sure the other was no slouch, but this idea that as craft brewers, we're making as good or better beers than the antecedents that came before, you know? So I agree. How many sandwiches did you guys start out with when you first opened?
It's probably like a six.
We had no set combinations.
No set?
We had no set combinations, and you had like the specials were laid out. Like every Monday was going to be this, every Tuesday was going to be something else. I think that lasted like a week or something. Then we did, like when we did the special, we just started doing it. And then I think it's just like people would come in and you could tell they got this like dazed and confused look, like, oh, I don't get it. I don't know how to order. So we thought, well, we better come up with some. So then it just kind of grew from there as a way to kind of help people.
Yeah, what do we have, like 20?
We had 20, I think, on the blackboard.
That was after like 2 years.
Right.
We said, let's... But we had a much more finite menu, but I think we're just also...
Yeah, I wonder how many people actually come in and construct their own. Is it a small percentage? Is it like 10%, 20%?
Half.
Huh.
Well...
I don't know.
Actually, I don't know if it's that high.
Probably not if you include the specials.
The special. So the special is by far the best seller each day.
Which you've already kind of constructed. So.
Which we've constructed. So I would say maybe about a quarter of the people.
Yeah, I wondered. I just never go off because there's so many good... I mean, I always get the special, but that's me going off it.
Yeah. But I think one out of two people actually modify their sandwich.
Right. I'll have this, but with a different sauce.
Marky B with peanut butter.
Right. Exactly.
Or if you really want to piss Mindy off, come in and pick a name sandwich and then eliminate everything so it's just turkey and cheese.
Right.
Mindy, why didn't you just order
just
turkey
order
and cheese
want.
Sandwich?
Yeah.
Like the ham and cheese with that?
Eggs with that cheese, exactly.
It's karma.
Exactly. It's coming back to get me.
I think we just, it's, I mean, we're slowing down a bit, but we're still adding stuff. It's always like, hey, did anyone ever think of doing that? And it's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's add that to it.
We're not going to add any more sandwiches to the 100, but we do occasionally. It's like a sauce.
We almost added Baba
Ganoush,
but I got voted down. Right.
People kept asking for cucumbers, so now those are, and we kept getting tired of lying and saying we didn't have any because nobody went to watch the bags. So
right.
Now, like, now we have them.
Now you're going to have to walk.
Now they're on. Now we keep them out front.
What's a detail or something about Jerry's that, or even this new place, you know, that people wouldn't know that would be, that they should know, or that's an interesting thing, or
where the name came from?
Yeah.
Well, we ultimately ended up naming it after Jerry Garcia, but, or, you know, an homage to, even though there's nothing Grateful Dead-ish about them. Well, the old place, maybe. It looks a little...
It's informal.
Trippy.
Yeah.
But we just wanted a good... You know, we thought we might evolve into being a deli, and the original sign is still there, says sandwiches and deli, and we're not a deli at all. We wanted a good deli name. We thought, we got to have a good deli name, but I don't have one, and we can't. And Uriah, that's not a good one for a deli. So we said, let's call it Mindy's. You know, that sounds Jewish. That sounds like that. What is Jewish?
Yeah.
Mindy is Jewish, in fact. I got it. But she wouldn't let us, so it's like, all right, let's just, we'll call it Izzy's or something. I said, why don't we just call it Jerry's, because... You can both name it after Jerry Garcia, and it sounds like a Jewish deli. And as it turns out, I guess there was a famous deli here called Jerry's.
Yeah.
Every so often, people walk in and go, you guys aren't the ones that were on Grand or something. No. It's before our time, but we've heard of it.
Huh. That's funny.
Did you
I've heard of it, Jerry? But I wasn't there.
Yeah, I must have been there at some point as a kid. My dad took me to all those old delis, but
all
I don't
those
remember
places
it.
Just went away, you know?
Yeah,
it's
there
tough
used to be
find
a ton
good
of
deli
them.
In this town now, you know?
There's really, I mean, there's Manny's.
Yeah, Manny's. You go to Ashkenaz.
Ashkenaz, yeah. My mother lives next door, so we call that the freezer. She
right.
Knows that. I'm going down to my freezer.
I'll try to go up to Kaufman's just to buy stuff occasionally.
Yeah.
That's, you know. But,
or go eat at the bagel. But there's really not much, there's not much around.
Yeah, they vanished for some reason.
You know, I was talking to Brad Rubin, 11 City Diner, about this, and he was saying, you know, part of it is the current generation is the generation that grew up in the deli families, and so what happened is you had all their parents were like, I work so hard running these delis,
right.
I want you to go to school, and I want you to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, and that's what they all did,
yeah.
And so nobody was left to run the delicatessens, you know? So, you know. I always ask, you know, if you knew it was your last meal. What would be your last meal? But I think we can get more
morbid.
We can get more specific and say what would be your last sandwich.
Oh, my last sandwich. What if maybe a shrimp poor boy of some sort.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Except I think I'd go down and get one from
right. Yeah, I'd have to go to New Orleans, and then I would stop for some beignets after that.
Sure.
Then I could be done.
I think we've learned the trick. We have a fairly authentic New Orleans breading mix, but. That just off the shrimp of taste that you can get down there. You know, unless we you know, charged more and really wanted to shuck shrimp. It's just hard to duplicate with frozen shrimp.
Let's talk about that. I mean, the quality. I mean, obviously, you guys got to meet a certain price point, but, you know, what kind of goes into a Jerry sandwich in that sense, you know? You know, the quality of the meat you're using and the technique and things like that a little bit, you know? Do you guys have a philosophy on that?
Yeah, I think we're just prudent. We use mostly top-notch stuff. Like, our turkeys are about as expensive as you can get. Where we'll draw the line is, like, we don't feel it's appreciated. For example, we carry a good domestic Swiss. It's got a nice punch. It's fine. We could upgrade to Swiss Emmental or something, but no one would appreciate it. So why do it? You know, there's no bang.
Yeah, I think when we started, we had,
you know,
like,
why make our sandwiches unnecessarily expensive?
A much fancier, like, cheddar. And you know, the trade-off for us is sometimes...
I think we start out with Black Diamond.
Right.
And there's, like, we can get something almost as good from Wisconsin that'll be $3-4 a pound less, or $3 a pound less.
And by the time you put, like, all these ingredients on it, and, you know, our feeling has always been we'd rather keep one price for a sandwich than, like, and it's 50 cents extra if you get this, and it's 50 cents extra if you get that. So, you know, we're always trying to look for things that can keep, and every now and then if it's something really crazy, like we do a special, like, some special meat, maybe we'll charge a little more for that particular sandwich. But I think that's part of what guides our decision on these things, is that we don't ever want to do that. And it's, you know, a dollar extra if you get cheap. I just hate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody has to go really far before we charge them extra. If it's like double something, if they say extra or double, okay, that's a, you know, that'll be an extra charge. So, you know, I think the best quality ingredients, but we're pretty careful about it. You know, we reject a lot of stuff, because it's just not, you know, every now and then a vendor will bring us like a smoked turkey or a turkey or like a new cheese, like a provolone. We'll just be like, this just is gross.
Yeah.
What are we trying today? Some new smoked cheese. And it's like, it's just gross. I don't care if it's cheaper. It's just...
We don't do a beef tenderloin sandwich.
Right. The skirt steak's good enough.
The skirt steak's great. In fact, for a sandwich, it's better. It's more flavorful. I think the thing we struggled with was, like, smoked salmon, to find a good one that wasn't $15 a pound wholesale. Because that's tough. We just don't want to have a $12 sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
We did look recently, we took a hard look at our Italian meat selection, just thought, you know, it's just not up to snuff, so we upgraded to a better salami, and copa, and sopressata, just spent more for it, that's all.
What's your hope and dreams for this place, for the future of Jerry's Part 2?
I think we're confident that what we're doing will always do well. What we hope to do here is be a place that, as we mentioned early on, to be a place people come at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to... When we first opened, I think we wanted to be kind of a super Subway. That was, or a super Subway in Delhi. And I think now we want to be as much a nighttime place as a daytime place.
Yeah, you know, kind of affordable, you know, an affordable place. I mean, I think what we always say is it's the place we always want to go and can't find. You know, whenever we're thinking to go out to dinner, oh, where do we just go and, like, get a good sandwich or a salad and sit down and relax? And it's just this kind of missing, you know, there's kind of the bars that serve food, but the food is kind of an afterthought. And, you know, then there's the higher end. I think that, you know, just hoping it'll be a place that, you know, all ages and people, which is really, you know, what's nice about Jerry's on Madison is we have a really diverse crowd, and, you know, I think we're just limited there at night because we just don't have the space to really do anything other than what we're doing, so.
Yeah, I drive by sometimes, and I can't say that I've been in there in the evening once, I think, but for some reason you just don't think of Jerry's for dinner or
no.
In the evening in that sense, you
know? So I know.
Which is sad because that neighborhood needs as much as it can have, you
know?
It's... You know, and there's, like, mid-rises going up, like, everywhere in there. It's like...
I just think at night you want to come in, you want somebody to wait on you. It's
you
just a different...
Beer.
You
want
to get a beer. Yeah. And,
you it's know, not, think, like... Yeah, it's not lunch. It's not...
No, we've set this
half-hour
up,
lunch
so,
break,
you know, you can
sandwich, go back to work.
Pull tables together and do big parties, and families can come, and, you know, you can come with your kids, and it'll just be, you know, kind of a neighborhood place where people not from the neighborhood will also come. But I think at heart, we're a neighborhood restaurant. We just...
Well, thanks for doing this, guys.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the interview. If you have any feedback, please drop me a line at mjnagran@hungrymag.com. See you soon, and in the meantime, stay hungry.
Four, three, two. One more time.